Hey, everybody, and welcome to the Azarkan Tours podcast as we get ready for the World Junior Hockey Championship, which is coming up in Sweden. It all gets going on Boxing Day. We're excited about it. Hey, Paul, how are you?
I'm excellent. Getting really excited as well. And we're only a few short days away from our party here in Edmonton. And then before we know it, we're going to be in Gothenburg, Sweden.
Well, joining us on this podcast, it's part two. We chatted with Peter Anholt on our first episode, just prior to this one, who he is the management lead for Hockey Canada at this event. I've known Peter for a long time. He can get excited, but he does a pretty good job of hiding it. So now we talked obviously about Team Canada and getting ready for this event, but you need to know a little bit more about Peter Anholt and his career in the Western Hockey League in particular.
Lengthy career.
He's coached and he's general managed. He's currently the general manager of the Lethbridge Hurricanes in the Dub. But it's always fun talking with Peter because he knows the game inside and out. So we'll wrap it up here. Here's the second part of our discussion with Peter Anholt. Well, you've been kind of busy through your career. I was just thinking about when did we kind of meet up, and it would have been in the 80s, and I don't know if it's when you were playing at the University of Saskatchewan or when you kind of jumped into things in Prince Albert. But when you take a look at your Western Hockey League coaching career, you covered a lot of bases there. You've been on a lot of teams. Just take us back a little bit through your career here. When you played, I was shocked. I was actually horrified to see that you actually picked up something like 590 minutes in penalties. It's because I always thought you were kind of a good guy, Pete.
Well, I was fortunate to play on some good PA teams, the game was different then, we had some really good teams, and then one in 79, one in 81, fortunate, and Terry Simpson, was my coach and became a mentor, and now is one of my best friends. I can't say enough about the man, so I was fortunate there, and then went to U of S, and we had really good teams there too. Of course, we won in 83 with Dave King there, and Willie Desjardins was our captain, and Dave Adolph was there, and we had so many good guys on that team too, and then went right into coaching after playing at U of S. Went back to PA and worked with Rick Wilson for a couple years, and then I took over as head coach when Rick left, and then actually hired Roy Sommer as my assistant that year, and he's gone on to have an unbelievable coaching career, and then went to Seattle. We hosted the Cup there in 92, which was a real good experience. Bobby Lowe's was my assistant there. And, of course, we know what kind of a career he's had in lots of ways, whether it's coaching or scouting. Just winning the Stanley Cup here in the recent year. And then went to Red Deer. Was really fortunate to start that franchise. And had a year in Europe, in Germany, and then came back, coached in Kelowna, back to Red Deer, back to PA. So it kind of, I really, really have been lucky. You've had lots of good, GMs. Russ Farlow was a real good guy to work for. And, of course, worked for Wayne Simpson and Terry Simpson and Red Deer. So I've been really fortunate along the way. I've rubbed shoulders with a lot of good people, and I've had a lot of good assistants. I think of Dave Manson, and I had Chris Knobloch, which is really ironic, but they both coached for me and with me, and Glenn Cochran, I'm really fortunate to have a career that I've had.
Hey, we do have to jump in on this one, because at the press conference today with Chris Knobloch taking on the head coaching position with the Edmonton Oilers, he got emotional because he's talking about his family still down in Hartford. Your name came up as being an influential figure in his career. A little comment on that. It's a little off the topic, but hey, you want to talk about the coaching fraternity and how much you can learn from each other, right?
I think Chris is a special guy. He's got a really good demeanor about him. He's really analytical, but he's got some fire, of course, just like any ex-player would have and now a coach. But, you know, I've got a lot of time for Chris. He's a gentleman. He's I was fortunate to have him as an assistant. Actually, both him and Dave worked with me that one year. You know, so that he mentioned me in the press conference is pretty humbling, because I don't know if I had a lot to do with his career, to be honest with you. But hey, you know what? I appreciate that he mentioned that.
Well, one of the things I wanted to ask you about, Peter, as well, was you coached one year in the German league in, I don't know if I'm pronouncing it right, Rieser See.
It's the town is actually called Garmisch.
And Garmisch-Partenkirchen. I know the area.
Yeah, and Garmisch-Partenkirchen. But SC Rieser See is a lake that's up in the mountains.
Okay.
Back in the old days, they called it SC Rieser See. But we actually played in Garmisch. So,
okay.
Yeah, it was the one year, I think, that they're in the Deutsche Elite League. So it was kind of interesting. And I didn't have an assistant, and I couldn't speak German. So you imagine how that went. From a hockey standpoint, it was really good, interesting, learned a lot. And from a family standpoint, it was awesome. We saw lots of Europe and really enjoyed our time there. So,
well, I do a lot of tours in that area. We've been to Garmisch-Partenkirchen many times, so I assume you played in the old Olympic Arena. And we go to Füssen quite often, Neuschwanstein Castle. That whole area is really nice. It's a beautiful area of Germany.
Bavaria is, if you can go down to Bavaria, it's one of the beautiful areas of the world.
Absolutely.
It's awesome. And they like their beer a little bit too.
You're kidding.
So that I didn't mind a bit either.
I just took a group of old timers hockey players to Oktoberfest this year. So I know exactly what you're talking about there.
We took our team and we took the players, their wives and girlfriends to Oktoberfest. We drove up to Munich from Garmisch. It was one of the highlights of the year, actually, to be honest.
Perfect.
If anybody can do that at some point, it. Make sure it's on your bucket list, because it is an awesome, awesome time.
Is that the hotline? We won't keep you too much longer. Hey, before we let you go, though, this adjustment from coaching to being a general manager, how have you found that?
Really good. I really enjoyed it. I coached a long time, so I think the good part is that being a coach, having coached, I think I have a good feel for what the coaches go through on a day-to-day basis.
Right.
I see the game a little bit differently just because I'm old, but, these young guys, they work really, really hard. The time they put in and how they do things, it's just different. You know, when I coached, you might've been by yourself in a lot of ways, or with one assistant. Now there's three coaches and a skills coach and an off-ice guy and it's just different, right? And then the expectations are different too of what we give our players and do for our players. So it's really good though. It's fun to build teams, right? I mean, that's what you're doing. You're building teams and you're building it right from the get-go and you have some idea. So you try to keep a big picture.
Yep.
When you're GM of a regular team, it's a big picture, whether it's years. World Juniors is way different. You're building a team for 1 month to win a gold medal. You're not building an all-star team. You're not just going off of points. You're building a team that's going to win a gold medal on December or January 5th. That's what your goal is. It's pretty clear.
So Bryn mentioned, and we know that you've been a general manager or coach in the Western Hockey League for many years. Is there one player that went to the World Juniors and just went supernova while they were over there and then came back and just took off?
I've had a lot of players play in it. you know, in different ways. Like, you know, of course, we had Modano and PA when he went and played for the U.S.
Yeah.
But, you know, I remember when Turner Stevenson went in 92, and Canada did very poorly that year. But, boy, he came back, and he was a different player, I thought. Stewie Malgunas went for us in Seattle in 90. As an undrafted 19-year-old, he came back and took his game to a whole different level. You know, there's lots of examples of that. You know, they come back, they're tired initially. You know, so you got to give them their rest. But I think it really, really helps. And I think you don't have to look too much further than a guy like, you know, the Bankier kid that played for Kamloops last year. He was probably off the radar for the World Junior initially, but then he eventually made the team and, you know, had a really good year for Kamloops, you know, of course, hosting the Cup. So it's a good experience for these players, and I don't think, you know, I think the NHL can't downplay what it does for their players as far as their development goes.
You've played, you've coached, and now you're general manager. How much have the athletes changed since way back when you were playing? Isn't it amazing how far the guys have come?
Yeah, I think it's pretty obvious the players are way more talented. I think they're more skilled. I don't know if it's necessarily a general thing that they're as passionate about the games. I think you see that some guys are, of course. But I think in general, I would question that maybe. You know, they're more worldly in a sense, but then they're not in another way.
Yeah.
You know, like I think you know, we probably, the kids years and years ago probably went through a lot more adversity, maybe getting cut off of teams, you know, and preparing them for some adversity down the road. Maybe this group of kids maybe don't have quite the adversity that was in place probably in other years, you know. So I think that's probably it. I think, you know, but I don't know. That's up for debate, I think, probably in a lot of cases. But I think in general terms, I think you could say that.
Okay, so I've known you for a long time here. I can sense the excitement. Are you really pumped? You sound like you're really, really excited.
Oh, yeah, well, you're guarded, right?
Yes.
You don't want to be too excited too early because
yeah.
I'll be worn out by the time, by the time December 26th rolls around. You know, there's work to be done, right? And then, you know, working with Scott, you know, Salmon has just been a treat. I have got so much respect for this man and how he goes about things. And, you know, and he's really jumped in with 2 feet this year as far as the player personnel goes with us. So
yeah.
So that's been new for him, too. So I think that's been exciting for him. But, yeah, it's exciting. I think anytime you're working with the elite, it's exciting. And then anytime you're representing your country, you know, I don't know how a person couldn't be excited. You know, if you weren't, then you're probably in the wrong business.
Yes.
But I...
Yeah.
You know, so yeah, excited,
okay,
and proud, but also take it in stride because there's lots of work to be done.
Well, we'll have 350 people at these games in Sweden. You won't miss us, that's for sure. We do have a hospitality suite. You're always welcome to drop by if you've got a couple of seconds, but thanks for your time today. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having me. It's great to talk to you both.
So there you go. There's Peter Antholt. Before we say anything about that, did you like the music? I wanted to break it up a little bit these last two episodes.
I don't know, Bryn.
You don't think that's going to work for you?
I have to listen to it again.
Okay, well, do you want to listen to it again?
No.
Okay, all right, fine. Well, that says it all right there. Okay, no more. We will do that no more on any more episodes. Okay, so here we are. We're getting towards the end of November in a lot of ways, and we're going to do another update when here? The final week?
Yeah, probably the next few days we'll have another update. And then, you know, a couple more before we leave. But we're down to the final strokes and getting everybody over there and having a great time over in Gothenburg. I just can't wait to be over there.
Our very first podcast will come your way. We're actually going to stream it live. And if you don't want to listen to it live, you can hear it a little bit later on. But we're going to be at the 23rd of December from Stockholm, Sweden. That'll be our very first podcast. Looking very much forward to that.
Yeah, I can't wait for that moment, Bryn, just to be over there at that time and saying, you know, already a large portion of our group there and being able to broadcast that first episode from Sweden is going to be quite something. I can't wait.
So once again, thank you to Peter Anholt for joining us on these two episodes that we just got through. The update episode is coming up next, and it's all starting to come really quick here. It's very quick. It's unbelievable. Paul, thanks. We'll talk to you later.
Thank you.
Okay.
They're trying to turn the lights off, and they turn them off.